You're listening to Sirens, a true crime podcast brought to you by the Sirens Network. This podcast contains explicit content, so listener discretion is advised. The opinions expressed on this podcast are solely the views of the hosts and do not reflect the views of affiliates, associates, or sponsors of this podcast. A break from our regular programming for this special episode. Raven's Reviews.
Okay, here we are. We're all here. So today I have a special guest. I say I. Mandy's here with me as well. I have Mandy, and we're doing a special Raven's Reviews tonight. I'm actually kind of excited about this one. Not in the studio. I have on my computer in the studio. We have Michelle Tooker. Am I saying that correctly?
Yep.
Tooker. Okay. Yep. Michelle Tooker. And Michelle has written some books, which is pretty cool. They are called True Crime Trivia. And your third one is coming out when?
April 30th, the third and final one in the series releases.
April 30th.
Oh, that's great.
The other two, I could be lying. Are they on Kindle Unlimited? Am I lying?
So the first one is not. It's wide, but the second one is on Kindle Unlimited. I was trying to compare to see which goes with which, but the third one will be on Kindle Unlimited as well. I'm going to stick with that route for now. So,
man, I want them in print so bad. I can't stand it. I bought them on, I've got them on Kindle, and I do really like them, the Kindle version, because you have this cool thing where, like, I guess the first chapter is the questions, obviously, and then the next chapter is the answers, and you can just, like, click it, and it goes straight to the answers, and then you can click it, and it goes straight back to where you just were. So I really like that, and it's really fun to play with just me in my living room. Seeing if I can get things right or not, but I'm excited because tonight you are going to quiz Mandy and I straight from book three.
Ooh,
yep, that's right.
And hopefully we don't miss a whole lot of them because that would be embarrassing.
I know, it'll be interesting too, because I was telling you offline, Raven, that, you know, this third series, I've written total now throughout the series 900 questions. So I had to start digging pretty deep for some of these. You know, in the first book, there's a lot more, I think, that are more commonly known bits of trivia about all different true crime cases. But by the third book, it's a little trickier to find some of those questions that are interesting and will kind of teach people things as well, and not just be like a million questions like, oh, where is this person from? You know, because that's not fun or exciting or interesting. So we'll have to see how you guys do with these. And I've tried to pick a variety, you know.
I know you had asked me, you were like, okay, well, like, what category do you like? I was like, oh, this one's a good one. Oh, wait, that's a good one. I was like, you know what? Just mix it up. Because all of them, like, you have some really great categories in there. And there are different categories from, like, the first one to the second one. Each one of them kind of has sparse categories. I wanted to ask you before we play this game and embarrass ourselves.
Our listeners are like, I'm ready.
I wanted to ask you kind of like where, number one, where your love of true crime came from, and if that is what like spawned you wanting to do these books.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I've been interested in true crime for as long as I can remember. My mom, probably when I was still too young to really listen to these stories, she would tell me some of those stories, like the urban legend about the man with the hook. Also, what it was like to grow up on the East Coast in the 70s when Son of Sam was around, listening to stories about Ted Bundy. Yeah. Things like that, that she would tell me about. So I started to get an early interest in true crime, and I would just read and watch things myself. We also had a family story where there was my mom lived across the street from a circus clown when she was younger, and he ended up murdering his girlfriend. So that was like a family story that we heard Whoa. Over the years. Yeah, it was pretty wild. And I was always wow. scared of clowns as it was.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And then
you.
Here, yeah, I mean, most of us are, right?
So don't hearing watch that. Also guys, people.
Yeah. And no, I can't watch it either.
Good.
No Pennywise for me. But yeah, so that's kind of how it started. And then, you know, throughout my life, I've always read true crime. As podcasts became bigger, I started listening to podcasts. I actually got involved helping research for a podcast called True Crime BS, which mostly covers the case of Israel Keyes, serial killer. So that's how I got more into doing it as a profession. And at the time that I got involved researching for True Crime BS, I was working on a couple children's books, and they involved some trivia. And I started thinking to myself, I should also do a true crime trivia book. And I started putting questions aside as they came to me, or as I read interesting bits in the news or from listening to podcasts. So I started that in 2020, but I was focused on these kids' books first. And then in 2021, I said, you know what, I'm really going to commit to doing this series, because I think I have a wealth of true crime knowledge, and some things I've shared with friends or colleagues over the years, they've been like, oh, that's fascinating, I didn't know that. And I thought I could do it in a way that would be engaging and interesting to people. And also in the process, you know, shine a light on some cold cases or missing persons cases that maybe haven't gotten a lot of attention. So that's what I tried to do throughout the series.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's great.
Mandy, do you have any questions? I don't know if you're prepared at all for this.
Am I ever prepared? I just fly by the seat of my pants.
Well, we prepared so hard for last night. I was like, I just kind of wanted this one to be fun. So we didn't really prepare too much other than me reading the books and playing the books. And of course, we follow you. You are also on the TikTok.
Yep.
I follow you on the TikTok. I was going to ask you this. Are the questions that you kind of ask sometimes on your TikTok, are those from the book?
A lot of times, yes. And that's why I was saying, you know, maybe avoid my TikTok for a few days. Okay. Because I am trying to promote book three. So I've been pulling some of the questions from book three. And then, you know, at the end, giving a little plug to pre-order book three or get ready because it's coming out. But I do also do case updates, like if there's something in the news, like I'm in Pennsylvania and we had a prison escape last summer that was national news, but it was a very big deal where I am. So I would cover that. And I didn't do so much trivia, but more like sort of reporting on what's going on. So I do that as well on my channels. And then I do write some new questions as they come up if there's something timely. I have a lot of friends who are big Taylor Swift fans. So I did a question, not this week yet for her new album, but around her birthday, I included a question about her because I know she's also a true crime fan as well. So sometimes I will write new questions on the fly, but most of them do come from my books.
That's so awesome. I was kind of interested because you said you research and write, I'm guessing you mean research and write scripts for True Crime BS.
Yes.
How did you get into that?
That's actually a pretty interesting story as well. I was a early listener of the show, and it was in like spring 2019. I joined their Facebook group. At the time, I think there were only like just about 1,000 people in there. And I actually knew someone in the group. We share like a best friend and we know each other. We grew up together, but we weren't like super close or anything. But we started talking because we were both in this Facebook group, both interested in the Israel Keyes story. And we started sharing information with each other because we were kind of doing our own research on the side. Because, you know, the big thing for people who aren't familiar with the Keyes case is they don't know who all his victims are. They caught him for a specific murder. And, you know, according to information he gave the FBI, he has other victims out there. Couple that are known or, you know, speculated to be likely, but many are not known. Mm-hmm. So that's what the podcast host Josh Hallmark is looking into. And so some of his listeners, you know, have gone on their own journeys to try and see if they could connect the dots on any of these cases. And that's what my friend and I were doing. And then during the pandemic, when a lot of content creators were doing lives and, you know, Q&As, we started sharing some of our information with Josh and we ended up becoming friends. And since then, since like fall 2020, we've been on the research team helping him look into different cases, what might be connected to Keyes. And from there, we've written some scripts. We mostly focus on writing for, he does a series on missing people because Israel Keyes, when they looked into his computer, they found a number of missing people's images on the computer. So we write podcast scripts on those people to tell their story. Now, definitely not all of them were his victims. They just were cases he happened to look up. But that's how I got into the writing, the scripts aspect of it, of the case.
That's really interesting. I haven't actually, we do all of our own stuff here, so we're broke. Yeah. You know?
I know how it is as an starting out author. It's like you wear all the hats. So. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, sometimes you just continue to. I mean, we've been doing this, at least I have been doing this podcast since 2019. And what I will say, once you start it and you've been doing it, it's really hard to give up those reins. Like, even if you can, you're like, oh, will they do it like I do it? Will they include everything I need it, you know, to be included? I just think that it's really interesting when I hear that somebody has a researcher. I'm like, well, aren't you just so special? And you just, you know, I'm just like, you, that's just so cool. Because I'm sure that it takes a lot of stuff off of, you know, having to host and research and write and do For all sure. the things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. So are you thinking, like you said, this was going to be your final one in the series. Are you thinking about doing something else next?
Yeah. So I already have an idea in the works. Actually, I have two ideas. One, I'm not ready to share with the world yet what the book is, but it will be publishing in the fall, and it is a true crime book.
Oh, cool.
So that'll come out. I'm thinking of releasing it September, October. But then in the meantime, I'm going to start a new series focusing on missing persons cases, because in my research for TCB, you know, you look on Namus and everyone is in Namus, but there are so many cases of missing people. And the cases that aren't getting attention that really need attention, or families would like to get more attention on this person's case. And I really want to work with the family members. Like, I don't want to just, you know, pick and choose my own cases and cover them, because I'm sure if you guys have run into, there are some families who don't necessarily want their loved one's story told anymore. I know, for instance, with Maura Murray's sister, she said, you know, her sister's story has been told so many times. Unless there's new information to report on, let's just leave it where it is now. And I know with Gabby Petito, when she went missing, her family also tried to shine a light on other cases of missing people that weren't getting as much attention. So that's sort of where my focus would be, to, you know, put a call out there for anyone who has a loved one who's missing, who wants to be featured in this series, and really do it that way. Make sure they want the coverage and the attention on their loved one's case. And I know there are many people who do and who need that, and it might help connect the dots or lead to a new tip that might solve something. We did see that with TCB, True Crime BS. We were talking about a John Doe on one of the episodes, and a listener heard the description of this John Doe, and she said, you know what, that sounds like a missing teacher from my town who's been missing for a decade. You know, no one's seen him. He was never actually officially reported missing, because his family thought he kind of just went off the grid. But she followed her hunch, and she called in a tip to the police where his remains were found, and it turned out to be him. So we played a small role in that, but just, you never, it just shows you never know where a listener may hear something, or someone may read something in a book and connect those dots that solve a case. So that's sort of what I'm hoping to do next.
Yeah.
Wow. We might have one for you after this, if you're interested.
We do?
Yes, I definitely. Yeah, that would be great. Well,
The Lorraines, Lisa and Ashley.
Oh, man, we have because we're anthology, you know, the podcast is anthology. Man, we have so many cases that come across our desk. And most of the time, and we might actually have a lot to shoot over to you, because most of the time we're like, this is not like, I don't think I can get more than 5 minutes, you know, out of this. And so we might be able to, I did try a segment I called 20 Minute Missing and Murdered, where I tried to tell something in less than 20 minutes, and it just did not do very good. Like, I don't know why, because to me, I was like, these things that I'm telling you, they're missing mostly, and it's between 5 minutes and 15 minutes, and they just didn't like it. They like our 2 to 4 hour content. So yeah, we might be.
Yeah, that would be great. And those are the connections I'm looking for, you know, from people I know and who are already working in the space, if they know family members looking for coverage, because that's really important to me. I know you guys are really in tune with the ethics of true crime as well. And that's sort of what we're trying to do with True Crime BS and some of the other podcasters I know. So that's why I'm trying to go about this in a, you know, as ethical as possible as you can in this space, because of course we're still covering crimes that happened, but mm-hmm. can we do it in a way that is victim focused and centered? So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, that's, we've talked about that because we're working on something right now, you know, for a book that's ethic based in true crime. And, you know, I teach that. That's what I teach for college. I teach ethics, counseling.
You teach crime. Everything, okay?
I teach critical thinking.
Yeah,
I teach victimology.
Yeah, we're doing like a it's like a part one, part two. Part one is going over if you want to be in true crime content creation. Like, here's things to consider: ethics, advocacy, legalities. Stuff like that. And then the second part is kind of like a how to start a podcast, how to start a true crime podcast, how to do some research, just some like basics. But yeah, it's hard because when we dip our toes in all these different things and, you know, we have like today, I literally got a message today that was another family member wanting another case covered. And I'm like, I have to tell them, like, we had decided, you know, that we're going to put the podcast off for a while because we're going to be working on a documentary. We're going to be working on this book. And it's like, it hurts my heart, but what can I do for them? And if I have someone like you that I'm like, hey, I have this, literally this family that is ready to tell this story. I can't do it right now. But I can help. I can, you know, try to get some reports. I can try to get, you know, an autopsy report or whatever it is.
Missing person. Yeah.
Yeah. Missing person. Yeah. But yeah, that's really interesting. You need to hit me up also when whatever mysterious case this is.
I know. I'm excited. You're writing that. I'm like, I want to know.
No, I'll just share with this for a clue to what it is. It's sort of in the same lines of a trivia book, the one that's ready to go. I had originally hoped to release it like at the holiday season this past year, but I was finishing up volume two, promoting that. So I decided to wait. But yeah, so that one is more like general true crime, but then the missing person series is the next one I'll be focusing on. So as soon as I get, like, I'm creating an intake form for family members to fill out with some of the questions and just, you know, making sure they're okay with it and everything. But once I have that up and running, I'll definitely share it with you, because that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Share it with me, and I will share it with these families that we can't get to right this second, and see if maybe they want to utilize a different kind of platform.
That would be great. And do you also know about Private Investigations for the Missing, the nonprofit?
I've heard of that, but I don't know exactly about it.
Yeah, just real quick. I've actually written two scripts for them before, because they get cases and then sometimes they feature those cases on the podcast called Missing, which is hosted by Tim and Lance. They originally had a podcast about Maura Murray, but they've branched out to cover other missing persons cases.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they're also on the board of Private Investigations for the Missing, which was started by Bruce Maitland. His daughter Brianna went missing.
Famous
case. Yeah.
We did that yesterday.
We just interviewed Greg over at her last night.
Greg. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Greg. So, and I have his book. I just started his book because he goes into the, that's interesting.
It's great. Yeah. That's what we were interviewing about last night.
Yeah. That's so funny. See, it all runs together. It's a small world, the true crime world. But yeah, no. Sometimes I direct families to there too. Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's behind
me. Yeah. That's great. Well, I'm looking forward to listening to that episode as well. But yeah, so that's awesome. So that's what I'm working on besides the true crime trivia series, because I feel like, you know, three books has been good. I don't know how many more trivia I could write specifically on this, especially trying to come up with different, like you mentioned, Raven, each book has different topics, because it's not just all serial killers. There's a couple serial killer only trivia books out there. Couple of them were out before I started this series, but I really wanted to branch out and cover all different types of true crimes. And, you know, I heard from a lot of readers that they were really interested in some of the chapters, such as the heist chapter from volume one, because those cases, I mean, there's movies made about heists and things, but they're like really interesting stories of some of these unbelievable heists that criminals have been able to pull off. So I really wanted to, you know, wrap it up with three books to kind of give a good range and not become redundant or repetitive with things. Or like I mentioned, you don't want a million questions that are all like, well, where did, you know, Ted Bundy grow up? Like, you know, why is that interesting kind of thing? You want things that are going to get people interested, test their knowledge. And also, like I mentioned, shine a light on some of these cases that may not be as well known.
I liked the celebrity crimes.
Oh, yes. That's like,
that was fun.
I love that.
Well, because that like in our normal like true crime realm, we also really like to focus on lesser known, and we have barely gone over anything that's been like notorious.
Oh yeah.
Maybe one or two, but we pretty much stay away from like serial killers if we can, like Ted Bundy, stuff like that. So I think it's like, obviously if you have something like OJ, everybody's going to know about it. We're not going to talk about that here, but I really liked it because we don't dive into that stuff. So it's like, oh, I don't know any of this.
Well, and you have to be careful diving into some of those, like O.J. Simpson and things like that. You have to be pretty careful about stuff like that because people are very sensitive about some of those things. So
I know.
Yeah. And there was like when I was first writing volume one, some of the questions, especially in that chapter, you know, because they're all either multiple choice or true and false. And I realized I don't want to be, you know, sued by any celebrities. If I say, you know, who was convicted of the or who was charged with this crime and I list four different celebrities and three of them had nothing to do with this, are they going to get ticked if they ever see this? So I kind of had to think about that and restructure some questions.
Yeah.
That was tricky.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's why we're covering legalities in our new book.
I need to read that chapter for sure, because a couple times I've been like, well, you know, I hope. No, even like a Taylor Swift question. She likes true crime, but make sure but it's not going to get. Does she want to be mentioned in a true crime book?
And celebrities, they have the money to sue. So
exactly. So I'm looking forward to reading your book on that. And I saw it posted on social media that you're looking for quotes and things from people. That's great.
Yeah. If awesome. You want to send us something.
Oh, yeah.
And send me also. Send me all the things that you've said, all the links to all the things, so I can drop it in the episode description and they can just click and go straight over. And obviously I'll put this stuff in social media and stuff when I drop the episode. But people like to click from the description. It's just a cool thing to do.
Yeah. Make it easy for them. That's for sure.
All right. Well, yeah. Mandy, if you don't have any questions.
I'm scared.
I know. I feel like I've been putting it off because I feel like I'm like going to not do good under pressure and like not get any of these correct.
Well, I do have some backup. So in case, you know, it goes that way, we could do a couple extra.
Okay. And then,
you know, put in the ones where bomb. You get them right. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. Someone asked me one time, would you get all these questions correct? And at this point, I know I've edited the books and proofread them so many times. And I don't think I'd even get them all correct now when I wrote them. So I get it. It's tricky. Yeah. Some of them I tried to make a little tricky just to, you know, change it up. I didn't want it to be too easy. So
it gets kind of like, I was thinking about that because I was sitting here like right before we got on here with you. And I was like, well, you read both of the books. I mean, you literally did the whole thing. And I'm like, there were so many questions. I don't even remember what she asked anymore. Yeah. I don't even remember what they are. I could go back and do this whole book all over again.
And probably get different ones right and wrong, right?
I learned nothing from going. Okay, so we're going to do a cool thing. We're going to try to answer some of your trivia questions. So
All right.
I guess
Let's yes, jump
I don't
in.
Get it right, listeners. It is Raven Rowland's fault.
Listen, the listeners are going to only hear us getting correct answers. I'm cutting everything else out.
That sounds like a good plan.
I won't. But, you know. Okay. Are we ready?
It'll
are
be
you ready, Mandy? Okay.
Mandy Roth.
Are we? Ooh, we should play against each other, Mandy.
Oh.
What do we get?
I'm going to keep score. Here we go. I'm ready when you are.
And do you want, so since you're keeping score, do you want me to go? Because originally I was going to go read the question and then wait for you both to answer and then give you the answer. Or do you want me to read a couple and then go back?
One at a time.
Okay.
And then wait for us to answer because, like, actually, you should wait because we might just know the answer before you even give us, like, if it's multiple choice or whatever. And that's then true. If we look like dum-dums, then you can give us the multiple.
Okay, sounds good. And then I think you know this, Raven, from the first two books. Each question also, when it has the answer in that section of the chapter with the answers, there's also a little story or blurb about the question to kind of enlighten people more on the case or provide some more details. So I could also read that too after you both answer.
I actually very much liked that about your book. So yes, I would love for you to do that.
Great. All right. So let's jump right in then.
Okay. All right. Ready.
I think this one's pretty easy to start. Okay, which serial killer left chilling online product reviews for items he used in his crimes?
Online product reviews?
Yeah, like Amazon reviews.
What?
Yes.
See, I'm already learning.
I think the multiple choice might make it a little easier with this one specifically.
Yeah. Let's go multiple. Okay.
All right. So is it A, Khalil Wheeler Weaver, B, Joseph James D'Angelo, C, Todd Kohlhepp, or D, both A and C?
Oh, my gosh.
Both A and C. It's not D'Angelo because that's too old.
No, it's not that. It's not. That's what I was thinking. It's not D'Angelo. I've actually never heard of the other two.
I haven't either.
So I'm going to say A.
Okay. All right. So it's C, Todd Kohlhepp. So he was a South Carolina serial killer. They caught him with a woman locked up in, I think it was in like a trailer on his property.
Oh my gosh. No, I do know this.
You remember
one.
That one? Yeah. 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 So I'll just read you the answer too. And the first one, A, Khalil Wheeler Weaver, he was a serial killer in New Jersey. I think he was using, not dating apps, but he would meet with sex workers and he got caught that way. Like a woman reported him to police and they didn't believe her at first, but luckily she was persistent and kept going back. And then finally they looked into him and determined he was a serial killer. Yeah, it's pretty bad. He's more modern as well. But anyway, so the answer is C, Todd Kohlhepp. It's blacker than my soul is the phrase serial killer Todd Kohlhepp used to describe a rifle grip in a 5-star online review. This was one of over 100 disturbing product reviews Kohlhepp left for items he used in the commission of his crimes. In a 5-star review for a folding shovel, he said, quote, keep in the car for when you have to hide the bodies and leave the full-size shovel at home. For a knife, he left 4 stars, noting that he hadn't stabbed anyone with it yet. In 2017...
What?!
I know. And the people found this after he was arrested and in the news. In 2017, he pleaded guilty to murdering 7 people and was given 7 consecutive life sentences without parole.
My Lord.
Yeah. So that's pretty bad. And then actually with the Israel Keyes case, we actually were able to uncover he left a review for it was innocuous. I mean, it had nothing to do specifically with some of these are obviously... tongue in cheek. And after that, turns out that Kohlhepp was arrested for these crimes. You're like, oh my God, did he really just leave that in a public forum? But with Keys, he just left a couple, reviews about power tools that he had used for his job because he was a contractor.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I know.
That's weird. Stumped us.
Yeah, sorry about that one. Well, maybe this next one was on my TikTok recently. So
I haven't seen it. You told me to stay away.
I haven't even been on TikTok.
So let's see if you can get this one correct then. So true or false, while working as an ice cream man, Fred West ran over a child with his truck.
True.
I want to say true too.
All right. You both got it right. That is true.
Yay!
Well, because I remember something. I've seen something about that somewhere. I have visions in my mind where I've seen it.
I don't think he didn't kill the kid, though, did he?
Yeah, it was ruled accidental, though. But then, like, later, years later, once they realized he was a serial killer, there's calls for the Scotland police to, like, reinvestigate and see if this was intentional. Yeah, so...
Oh, poor baby.
Yeah, I know. That's... But I'll just read the answer for it, which mentions what I just said. So in 1965, Fred West ran over a child while driving a Mr. Whippy ice cream truck in Glasgow, Scotland. At the time, the boy's death was ruled accidental. However, after authorities arrested Fred and his wife, Rosemary, for multiple murders, some believe West intentionally killed the three-year-old, and there were calls for Scotland police to reinvestigate the case. Yeah, reading this one out loud now is like, this is kind of grim.
That one hurt my heart.
I know.
I have a three-year-old, so that hurt my heart.
And I have a four-year-old, so it's like, it's true. Once you become a parent, I think a lot of this true crime content does become a little bit more difficult than maybe it was before. I know you mentioned in one of your recent episodes about taking breaks from it, and I find myself doing
that
as well.
Yeah, so we're actually going to also include that in the book about mental health and the toll that true crime can take on you. But
well, and it doesn't get any easier. You know, my child is almost 21.
Yeah.
It just,
you worry more when they're out in the world by themselves,
you know, and then you worry about different things because you're not with them. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's so important, taking a break. I know from a lot of, you know, other people I know in this space, some people I know, they don't even, aside from doing their work in true crime, they no longer read, watch, or listen to anything else because it's too much. And I get it. I can see needing a break from that for sure.
Mm-hmm. See, with what I do, I don't have that option, unfortunately, because I teach it. So I have to keep up on all these things. But there are times if I'm not teaching that specific course, because they're fast track courses, I will not. Like, unless it's funny.
No, she reads romance at night.
What I'm into right now are the British comedy shows.
Yeah. Nice palate cleanser. That's for sure. The British comedy shows.
Yeah. And they're just different, and they really just clear your mind. So it's just something, you know, listeners, British box.
Yeah. Brit box.
Brit box.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. Go. So the next one, number three, a 1985 sting operation involved luring those with outstanding warrants to a party where they could receive free tickets for which event? So is it A, Madonna's World Tour, B, the World Series, C, the Super Bowl, or D, the World Cup?
It was probably a sports ball thing.
I say the World Series, B.
Wait, what was the date?
1985.
I'm going to say the Super Bowl.
Okay. All right. Raven, you are correct. See the Super Bowl.
Woohoo!
So in 1985, authorities in Washington, D.C. planned an elaborate sting operation. They invited around 3,000 people with outstanding warrants to a party for the Washington Commanders NFL team. They were extremely popular at this time.
Genius.
Attendees were promised two free tickets to a Commanders game, plus a chance at winning season tickets and an all-expenses-paid trip to the 1986 Super Bowl. About 200 people fell for the trick. They showed up to the party where they enjoyed a brief brunch. Then an MC announced that he had a surprise for them. And more than 20 deputy U.S. marshals and police officers ran out. They had their guns drawn and handcuffs ready. You can actually watch footage of this sting operation on YouTube.
Ooh.
And it shows like there's this festive atmosphere before they realize they've all been duped. And in the end, they were able to arrest 119 people.
Good night.
So I think I saw this in a video circulating a while ago on Facebook. And I just thought, oh, my God, that is. It's insane that it worked. And I mean,
it's
smart
genius.
Thinking on the law enforcement's part.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Good job, law enforcement. That was
I didn't know anything
smart.
About that.
Pretty slick on their part for sure.
Okay.
All right. Let me just grab a sip of water real quick.
I'm not doing well.
You're only one behind. I only have two. 2-1, man.
Yeah, you could easily catch up here. Let's see. Okay, so this is, all right, 4. Which serial killer stole a gun from a U.S. president's home and used it to murder 10 people? So is it A, H.H. Holmes, B, Robert Berdella, C, Harvey Glattman, or D, Carl Panzerum?
I'm going to say the guy named Harvey.
Harvey Glattman?
I'm going to say C.
C as well? Harvey Glattman? Okay. So the answer is D, Carl Panzerum. So have you guys heard of this killer before?
I have not.
No.
Okay. So he's from the early like 1900s, but he was dubbed one of the most cold-blooded serial killers in history. So he robbed and assaulted and murdered countless victims. And while he was on a crime spree on the East Coast, he actually broke into the New Haven, Connecticut home of former President William Howard Taft, and he stole a gun. And then he later used that weapon to commit at least 10 murders. He also used some of the money from the crime to like buy a yacht that he would use to like lure victims onto his boat and stuff. Is yeah, pretty wild.
Oh my Lord.
I know. So I had to dig deep for this third volume, right, to find some of these questions.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's a wild one.
Excuse me.
That's wild.
All right. How about this next one? I think you could get. Let's see. 5. Which state banned last meal requests for those facing execution? Was it A, Texas, B, Utah, C, Florida, or D, all of the above?
Texas.
Utah.
All right, Mandy, you got it right.
Dang it, it's Texas. Mandy.
Texas bans everything.
I was about to say that's probably why you said that.
And I was a little sneaky with that too, because I included Florida, where you know a lot of weird things happen in the true crime space.
Florida.
So in 2011, Texas banned last meals after an outrageous request went uneaten. A man named Lawrence Russell Brewer was sentenced to death for his role in the 1998 murder of James Byrd Jr. And before his execution, Brewer asked for an exorbitant spread that included a meat lover's pizza, slab of peanut butter fudge, 3 root beers, a pound of barbecue, a pint of vanilla ice cream, 3 fajitas, 2 chicken fried steaks, and even more than that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so when the guards brought him this spread, he didn't touch anything and he said he wasn't hungry. So this abuse of the system obviously like incensed lawmakers, and a certain senator named John Whitmire decided that, you know, last meal requests were, quote, an extremely inappropriate privilege, one which the perpetrator did not provide to their victim. And Texas ended the 87-year tradition, which, you know, that brings into you could have a whole discussion about that. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
Should there be these last meal requests? So
I kind of like it, I have to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not mad about it, but I think what's funny is that it was like this one, it was just the last straw. And they were like, you know what? I'm sick of it.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So
Texas,
I thought that
was very, good at banning things when they're had enough.
Yeah. The last straw and that's it with them. Yeah.
We're tied up, by the way.
Tied. Good. All right. Well, let's see then. This is another interesting one, I think. So in 2023, DNA found on which vegetable helped to solve a murder 12 years after the crime? So is it A, a carrot, B, a sweet potato, C, broccoli, or D, spinach?
A sweet potato. I'm saying it's either a sweet potato or a carrot, but I'm going to go with sweet potato.
I'm thinking.
I want to change mine to carrot.
Carrot. What is sweet potato, carrot?
Sweet potato, broccoli, or spinach.
Ooh.
It's probably broccoli.
I'm going to go with broccoli.
Broccoli. All right. Final answers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Raven, you had it originally. It was sweet potato.
Dang it.
Yeah. So I don't know if either of you have watched The Wire, and you know, that show was on a while
I've
ago.
I've heard of it.
Okay. So this criminal must have been a fan of the show, because it featured this scene where someone uses a potato as a silencer. So the answer to this one is a sweet potato that investigators believed was used as a silencer helped to solve a murder case in 2023 after suspect's DNA was found on the vegetable. Perpetrator must have been a fan of The Wire as the show featured the same scenario. And the police also discovered a cell phone at the crime scene registered to Marlo Stanfield. That was a notorious character who appears in seasons 3 through 5 of the show. And the alleged murderer was arraigned on the 12th anniversary of the crime, and he's currently awaiting trial. So not sure what the outcome will be of that, but it seems like they have pretty solid evidence against him. And obviously he was a fan of the show and maybe shouldn't have gone to those lengths.
But. Dang it. And I've actually like I've seen that.
I've never seen The Wire,
but I've heard of that before. So that's probably why I went with sweet potato first.
Yeah, you had it at first. I
should have just left it.
Kept it.
Nope. Put broccoli as a silencer.
I'm going to use a carrot. So.
Actually, a friend of mine gave me that one because I was, you know, sometimes when you're doing this research and looking into ideas for trivia, run out of steam and ideas. And I asked a few of my friends and she's like, did you hear about that guy who, you know, was arrested after sweet potato had his DNA? I said, that's perfect. So
that's all right. Great. That's a great question.
Yeah it is.
I actually put that on the, you can see here, it's like the front, my designer put it on a little sticky on the front cover.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because I thought that was pretty interesting, a vegetable helping to solve a crime.
I do really love your covers too, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
They're cool. Yeah,
they're very really cool. Great,
designer, and just like you mentioned earlier, Raven, with the ebook where it has the links from the answer and back, that was really important to me when I set out to have these books created. So I had to find someone who had that know-how and was confident in doing that in a way that made sense for readers. So I'm glad you mentioned that as well.
I love it.
Yeah, they're cool.
Thanks. Yeah. So, okay. The next question here is, I think this is another fascinating bit of trivia. Which popular song was inspired by the Preppy Killer case? A, Janie's Got a Gun by Aerosmith. B, Suffer Little Children by the Smiths. C, Jenny Was a Friend of Mine by the Killers. Or D, Polly by Nirvana.
Polly. Ooh, Jenny Was a Friend of Mine.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going with Polly by Nirvana.
Polly and Mandy are going with C, Jenny Was a Friend of Mine. All right, Mandy, you got it correct.
Dang it.
I'm very familiar with the Preppy murder.
Are you?
Did you know about this connection to the Killers before? So I didn't know about that until I was doing this book. But
I had heard, I don't even know where I heard it, but I heard that somewhere I was looking at a song when I was uploading it and it said the connection. It just had it below that it was regarding the Preppy murder, Robert Chambers.
That's wild.
So I know that's, like I said, I'd heard of, you know, I used to be a big Killers fan when their album came out. I was in college and I was like played it on repeat, but I didn't know it at the time that there was a true crime connection till researching for this book. But so the opening song on the Killers' debut album, Hot Fuss, is about the 1986 murder of Jennifer Levin, dubbed the Preppy Killer for his history of attending prep schools. Robert Chambers strangled Levin in Central Park, claimed her death was accidental. In his police interview, Chambers said of Jennifer, quote, she was a friend of mine. This line stuck with the Killers lead singer Brandon Flowers and became the basis of the band's hit song, Jenny Was a Friend of Mine, which focuses on an interrogation situation if you listen closely to the lyrics. Chambers served 15 years for manslaughter in the first degree, and he later actually went back to prison for another 15 years for a drug charge.
Oh.
Yeah, and then just real quick, I also, the other songs mentioned here, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith wrote Janie's Got a Gun after reading a report about gun violence. Suffer Little Children is actually about serial killers Ian Brady and Myra Hindley. And then Kurt Cobain wrote Polly after he was reading an article about a 14-year-old girl who was abducted by rapist Gerald Friend on her way home from a concert. Luckily, she was able to escape from that situation.
I think that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Robert Chambers. He can't stay afterwards.
Well, Mandy, you're in the lead.
See, things turned around, right?
It's fixed. It's fixed. It.
All right. Well, let's go to Florida for this next question. Ooh,
Florida. All right.
So, true or false? Florida sentenced an alligator who had eaten several pets to life in prison in the swamp of the state's largest penitentiary.
I'm just going to say true because it just sounds like something they would do.
I'm going to say false because I don't know that they can actually, like.
Florida can do whatever it wants.
With that certain alligator. I wouldn't. I would let it do whatever it wants.
All right. Well, Mandy, you're maintaining your lead. This is not, this is false. This is a trick question. So this did not happen. However, there was a bear in Kazakhstan that did serve 15 years in prison after mauling several campers, which that question was in book one. So you may have noticed, too, since you've read the other two, Raven, is when I do have a true or false and there's a false, I try not to just say false. I try to have like maybe even a little story that goes along with it. I think in book one or two, there's a question about Stephen King helping to solve a crime. And the way the question's written, it's false, but his son actually had a role in a missing persons case. So I try to do that with them to keep them interesting as well. But yeah, I guess I got you on that one.
Got me. I'll believe anything that comes out of Florida. Like you, if you said, hey, this happened, be like, well, I believe it.
Well, when it comes to alligators, you know, I'm kind of thinking they just let them do whatever they want to do.
Don't mess with the gators. Just let them be.
That's funny.
All right. So for number nine.
I don't think I'm going to be able to catch up, but we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. And we'll see how much time you want to go. I do have some extra questions if needed. If you want to see if you can.
Yeah, we got 15, about 15 minutes left.
All right. So for many years, Rita Curran, who was murdered in Vermont in 1971, was considered a possible victim of Ted Bundy's. In 2023, police finally solved the crime using DNA evidence. Who murdered Rita? Was it A, Rodney Alcala, who's another serial killer, B, her neighbor, C, Ted Bundy, or D, her coworker?
Well, I think...
I've heard of this story. I just cannot remember.
Okay, what was the multiple again?
Sure. A, Rodney Alcala, B, her neighbor, C, Ted Bundy, or D, her coworker?
I think it was her coworker.
I was thinking it's either her neighbor or her coworker. I'm going to say her neighbor.
All right. Raven, you got this one right. It Woo-hoo! Was actually her neighbor. So, and this case was in the news recently. For years, they thought it could have been Bundy. But the answer is in 1971, Rita Curran was found strangled to death in her Burlington, Vermont apartment. Case went cold for decades. And she was once considered a Ted Bundy victim. Because Bundy was born in Burlington, Vermont, at the Elizabeth Lund Home for Unwed Mothers, and authorities believe he visited his birthplace around the time of Curran's death. Before his 1989 execution, Bundy denied involvement in the second-grade teacher's murder. In 2023, DNA from a cigarette butt left at the crime scene pointed investigators to another suspect, her neighbor, William DeRue. While authorities ruled DeRue's out in 1971 based on an alibi, the DNA evidence and new information from his former wife revealed that he was the killer.
Ooh.
So I think initially his wife kind of vouched for him. I think she was scared of him as well. But then later this DNA evidence came out. They interviewed her again and, you know, confirmed that he actually had committed this crime.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think I heard something recently about it. I think that's why I remembered. Something
I've heard of that story, but I could not remember who they said.
Yeah.
I got one to catch up.
All right, so let's get to this one then. This one's a little cheeky, I think.
Cheeky?
So have either of you watched the Tinder Swindler documentary?
I have.
No. Wait.
That guy, Simon Levive.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right. So this is about him because I think he got his karma.
Oh, no. How much did I pay attention?
Well, this is a newer thing. Let's just see what you think about this. Okay. So when the scammer gets scammed, I'm calling this. Simon Levive, better known as the Tinder Swindler, lost a few thousand dollars when he was scammed while trying to do what? So was he trying to A, expunge his criminal record, B, get his Instagram account verified, C, purchase a purebred dog, or D, launch a new dating app?
Purchase a purebred dog.
I want to say A.
A, expunges criminal record. All right. Well, the answer is actually B. He was trying to get his Instagram account verified, and he got swindled by an Instagram account with over 1 million followers, was able to get him to wire over $6,000.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
He really wanted that blue check mark by his username. Yeah. And you know what? So that happened. He got swindled out of $6,000, which probably isn't that much to him. And unfortunately, later he somehow managed to get that blue check mark anyway. But I thought that was kind of funny that he, you know, got a taste of his own medicine there.
That is funny. I like that.
You know what? My answer didn't even make any sense now that I think about it. Like, my answer now that I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, he could have gotten swindled by a lawyer or somebody pretending to be a lawyer.
Yeah, but I didn't make any sense.
That's right. You went with the quick thinking, you know, what you thought sounded good. If you want, we have a couple minutes, right? If you want me to do a couple more just to see if you can
let's catch do up. It.
All right. All right. So which U.S. national park has a zone of death in which someone could theoretically get away with murder? Is it Grand Canyon National Park?
It's Yellowstone.
All right.
It's Yosemite.
Yosemite? Mandy, that's okay. And then Raven, you said Yellowstone. Yeah. Well, Raven is correct. It is Yellowstone. I didn't see. You got this one. You didn't even need all the multiple choice.
It's Yellowstone.
And this was really big in the news in 2021 when they were searching for Gabby Petito. So there's a 50 square mile section in the Idaho portion of Yellowstone National Park called the Zone of Death. Within this section exists a legal loophole where someone could theoretically get away with murder. Mm-hmm. The problem lies in the fact that no humans live in this zone. And if someone were to commit a crime within this area, their Sixth Amendment right to be tried in front of a jury from the state and district where the crime occurred would be impossible to fulfill. And while the likelihood of this occurring is slim, it made headlines in 2021 during the search for missing blogger Gabby Petito. And in 2022, a politician introduced a bill to ask Congress to close the loophole. I haven't seen any update yet on whether that's
I feel like I know that I heard that in the Gabby Petito case, but I feel like I heard it first. Was it not in Trailed by Catherine Miles?
Yes, and it was also
she talks about some murders that happened in the Shenandoah National Park, and we interviewed her for her book, and I read that book like twice back to back. It was a really good book, and I think it was in that book.
Well, and David Rader also, he actually hiked there, and they talk about it, that there's areas that are, the BTK killer, that's what he did. He used to hike that area.
Weird.
Weird. With his kids.
Ah, jeez.
Okay. We got to break. Right. We're tied. Yeah. We got to break this tie.
All right. Let's go with, this is kind of just a fun one. Which country banned plain M&M's candy? Was it A, Sweden, B, Japan, C, Egypt, or D, Iceland?
It's
Iceland.
Japan, Iceland. All right, it's actually Sweden because they have like a Marabou, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but Marabou candy, which is very similar with the M logo. So. Oh. They brought a lawsuit against M&M's and the logos were deemed too similar. But the funny thing is peanut M&M's are still available in the country because the M's are capitalized instead of the lowercase one. So it's not, you know, doesn't look too much like the famous Swedish candy brand version.
That is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
Swedish chocolate's good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I think European chocolate is and Scandinavia. Oh. It's much better than what we have here.
Yes, German chocolate.
Oh yeah, Kinder. Oh yeah, and the real Cadbury, not the Hershey.
Oh, Cadbury. Oh, that's my favorite.
All right, so this would be a good one to end on if we have to stop after this. But according to the National Missing and Unidentified Person System, NAMIS, how many people go missing in the U.S. each year?
250K.
250K.
That's you didn't let me.
You pick what? You pick a number.
All right, you're gonna pick a number.
Give her the multiple choice.
Okay, gotcha. So A 1 million, B 50,000, C 250,000, or D 600,000.
Ooh, I kind of hit the nail on that one, didn't I?
Yeah,
I know them.
We'll see if I'm right.
I'm trying to remember.
It might be less than that.
I don't think so.
I don't feel like it's less than that, but
I think it's. I want to say it's either 600 or a million.
That's a lot.
Can I go with both? I'd like to pick both, please.
Both.
I don't know. I'm going to go with 600. I think it's a lot.
All right. Well, Mandy, you're actually, it is 600,000, but that's weird, Raven, that you said 250,000 and I have that as a choice.
That is weird.
That was weird. I was like, maybe I should go back and triple check that. But, or maybe that's not, that could be one of their other figures for something, because the 600,000 number is how many people are reported missing in the U.S. each year, and around 4,000 are and around 4,000 unidentified decedents are discovered annually. And then they say, NamUs says that while many of these cases are resolved pretty quickly with the person located or unfortunately located deceased, but a few thousand remain unsolved at the end of each year.
I actually think I'm thinking of cold cases, like how many cold cases there are. Because I think I just read that number not too long ago for research.
And I think, too, California has a big area of missing persons in their desert areas. Huge.
They were, yeah.
It's huge. A lot of people. That's too many people.
I know. It's way too many. And that's like we were talking about earlier. When you do work in true crime or research for true crime, that's one of the most sobering statistics that you uncover. At least it was for me and many people I know. Like, just how many people just vanish? And
I know. And to me, that's still wild, because we are like covering the earth, right? Little humans are just all over the place. And for some reason, people can still just vanish without a trace. It just blows my mind.
I know. It really does.
Because everyone is in their bubble not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
I really think people just keep to themselves and they just don't pay attention.
Well, and we do still have, because, you know, we were talking to Greg last night and he was telling us that Vermont is like 70% still forest. And it's like, you know what? Thinking about it, Oklahoma is, which is where we are, is pretty covered with forest. And we have all of those mountainous. So we've got, we run into the Ozarks and they've got all of those cave systems. And then we have Vineta with all the mining systems. That's like got like 4,000 miles of mines.
The underwater,
so
places.
I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Oklahoma.
I did see this overlay. Mandy, I think I told you about this overlay once when we were working on the Freeman Bible case. I think, I think that's when I saw it. Anyway, there's this overlay that is like missing people. And then like it's like the dots, you know, that fills out the United States. And then you overlay it onto the mine cave systems and the national forests. And it like lines up pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Ozarks, man, there's some.
It's scary.
Unfortunately, yeah. There's a lot of people that go missing and that are found there.
Yeah. And some never found at all.
There was that one of the cases I wrote for the missing was a woman who disappeared near the Ozarks. There's been no update in her case. But yeah, and it's, I mean, you think about a place like Alaska too, where there's just so much land and forest and wilderness. So in that sense, you can kind of understand these numbers, but just like you're saying, Mandy, and unfortunately, a lot of people are distracted, might not step in if they see something a little bit out of the ordinary, or we're distracted by our phones or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it is, once you know that number and you are researching missing persons cases, talking to family members, and it's just astounding how many people just vanish.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild.
Yeah,
it's people just are, you know, and different parts of the United States, you have more where you have higher concentration of people, of numbers, you have people actually not paying less attention, I think, because they're so involved with just, you know, doing their day because there's so many people. And it's usually when you have less people that people are more like, why is that there? You know what I mean? As in when it's so busy, people are like,
I know. So, it's like you look at New York and like that's like the saying is New Yorkers don't care. They've never like seen anything out of the ordinary because everything is normal there. Mm-hmm. But then it's like some rancher who lives 50 miles outside of town is like, I noticed this one guy walking down the road. And you're like, what?
Yeah, that's so true. I'm from New York originally, only about like an hour north of the city, but having gone to New York City many times throughout my life, it's so true. Something can happen there and it's just like a blip, you know, but living in suburbs and stuff, you have the one nosy neighbor who's like, I noticed this car at your house and what was going on. We need more people like that, though, when it comes to these crimes, paying attention and, you know, remembering things and calling in those details. And it's just wild.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks so much for inviting me on the show and for supporting the books and also other authors as well. I was listening to the interview with Sean Warner. That was great. I mean, amazing story that was too. Yeah. So
he is like the sweetest human. He's just so nice. It's one of my favorite things. Like, I know we run a true crime podcast, and so I try to stick with true crime writers or crime writers or horror, something along those lines. But this is probably one of my favorite things to do because, as we mentioned, the real true crime can get very heavy.
Yes.
And so I feel like this is a really great way to not only support other authors, but kind of get that break, you know, mentally.
For sure.
Yeah. We're still creating, but also we're kind of taking a break here.
Yeah. Well, but we learn so much from these other authors. I mean, every time we do an interview, we walk away, I'm like, wow, I just learned so much that I did not know. And I can take that to my students when I'm teaching. So it's fabulous.
Did you happen to put any famous cases, any famous case questions in there?
Yeah. So actually this edition has a whole chapter on specifically like infamous crimes that don't really necessarily fit into some of the other categories. So there's, speaking of bystanders, there's a couple questions about Kitty Genovese, because that's a famous case which involved, you know, bystander effect. And there's a lot of misconceptions around that. Mandy, you might know that from teaching. No, it wasn't exactly what the media said happened with that case in terms of no one calling in the crime. But there's some questions about that. There's questions about Menendez brothers, some newer things like the Michelle Carter case, the woman who was convicted of encouraging her boyfriend to,
The text messages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, the Menendez brothers. I'm very familiar with them. So there's Eric and Lyle.
And that's the question that I covered this on TikTok like a couple weeks ago. So I didn't do that one, but they were actually featured. Someone did some digging and found a cameo from them on an NBA basketball player's card from 1990 to 1991. So they're featured right there in the background of this player's official basketball card. And it was after they committed the crime but before they were arrested. Oh. So I thought that was an interesting bit of trivia. And then
I didn't know that.
You can see the card online. It's wild to see. And then later, I believe it was Lyle, he confirmed to the media that, yes, it definitely was him and his brother. They went to that game and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
They went on a spending spree for a little while.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
So there's some questions like that. And it's a variety, too. You know, some things, not just murders, because, you know, we need a break from that stuff, too. But some things I thought were interesting, like, I know a lot of people know that Disney is pretty sue happy. And there's an interesting story about how they sued some child care centers in the 1980s.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah. Things like that.
Oh, yeah. The Satanic Panic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you said Disney and, you know, they have that neighborhood. They own a neighborhood.
Yes.
Where they have and they have birds that chirp in the tree, like these electronic things. And like,
that's it's creepy.
It's right next to Disney World. And there was a murder in that neighborhood where the dad killed the mom and the kids and the dog.
Oh, my.
And
then, what?
And then stayed there with them for days.
Was that the one around that happened around Christmas? Or maybe I'm thinking of another one.
I don't know really when it happened, but it was so strange because he like stabbed them once, but he gave them all something to kill, like some kind of drug to kill them. Then he laid them all in bed and like laid them all just like in the same. It was, and he stayed there with them.
I do remember hearing that was, yeah, that whole idea of that town is kind of creepy too.
You know? Yeah, that's very that. Like Stepford Wives. Yeah. Or
and it's really expensive, I heard, to live there. Like really expensive.
That is so weird.
Isn't that weird?
That's yeah, very
that
strange.
Is wild.
I think he was a chiropractor. I think he was a chiropractor.
I'm going to have to look that up. See, you know, yeah. You come up with new cases you can read about, you know, with talking with other people as well. So
yeah, it's bizarre. Yeah. Birds chirping in the tree. As yeah. I'm like, what?
I don't yeah. think. Okay. So tell my listeners, I'm pretty sure that I will be able to get this out before the third one comes out.
April 30th.
Yeah. April 30th. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell my listeners where to find your books.
Sure. So you can find True Crime Trivia Volume 3 on Amazon. It'll be on Kindle Unlimited as well. And then Volume 2 is also on Kindle Unlimited and Amazon. And then Volume 1 is wide. So you can get it also on, you know, Apple and Kobo and some of the other platforms, Barnes & Noble. But all three are available on Amazon. You can also purchase signed copies through my TikTok shop. My TikTok username is @TrueCrimeTrivia. I'm also on YouTube where I post some longer form videos with that same handle @TrueCrimeTrivia. And then on Instagram, it's @True.Crime.Trivia. And they can find me there and, you know, follow along because I do trivia videos with some of these questions from the books and also, you know, case updates about, you know, current true crime cases that are going on.
I follow you.
Yes, yeah. That's how we met. So
I will continue to follow you.
So much knowledge.
Yeah.
So we just, wow, we appreciate it. That's a lot of knowledge and a lot of learning that you can really do from reading your books.
Oh, yeah.
So people check them out.
Check them out. Well, thank you so much for being with us. We yes, appreciate you.
And thank you so much, Raven and Mandy. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Raven's Reviews. Catch more next time on the Sirens Podcast.